You know, there was some things that the Lord was putting on my heart and in my discussion with him. And it was almost like things of repeat. In other words, things that we know, but things that we lose sight of. Things that we know, but we lose sight of. Things that used to be priority are no longer priority. And in this, the Holy Spirit is sharing with us and put on my spirit that we're going to do a series of weapon of deception. Because there are multiple weapons, but he said weapon, deception is a weapon. Deception is a weapon. And if deception is a weapon, that's one of the weapons of Satan's kingdom. His greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And it's something that seems to be losing sight many times. We get caught up. We get distracted and lose sight that the weapon is deception. That is the only weapon he has. It's called deception. And the purpose of this weapon, of course, is to deceive people. And, you know, you and I were born in deception. We were born blinded. So what he tries to do is put things in our life to keep us in that state of deception. And when we learn something that exposes deception, he tries to convince us to exchange what we learned back to deception. Because if he can keep you under the gun, under the weapon of deception, he has control over your life. And he controls your life with fear. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So what is deception? It is a weapon. Amen? It is a weapon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am lonely among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, that I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh or according to the ways of the world. Amen? Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, in the world, we do not war according to the natural realm. Our warfare is not according to the natural things. Our warfare is according to the spiritual things. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. They're not natural. But they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. It is a lie that you've accepted and agreed with, that has been holding you from going forward and puts limitations on your life. Remember, our weapons are of spiritual warfare. They are spiritual weapons. They are not carnal. They are our weapons of spiritual warfare are not according to the natural common sense or according to what one sees. But it's according to what one hears or discerns with what one hears. Has everybody got it? And it says that here it is, that though we walk in, for our weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds. Again, a stronghold is a memory lie. We are to pull them down. We are to actually cast them out. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments. And where are these arguments? These arguments are in your thoughts. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So in this, again, the weapons of our spiritual weapons of warfare are not weapons according to the natural realm. They are weapons according to the spiritual realm. They are not according to our natural common sense. Amen? It's not according to what we see. Actually, it's according to what we discern, what we hear. And so many people just speak what they hear. They just do whatever, anything they think it's them. They just think it, and these memory lies are strongholds that have been labels that have been spoken over your life. People go to doctors and get more in bondage. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor. Thank God my doctor's spirit-filled. I go to him, we pray and cast out devils first. Then we look at the other things. But we get rid of the spirits first. And in this, so it is important because when these labels are placed upon a person, it is called a stronghold. It is a memory lie. We agree with it, we become it. Just like the people who say, well, once an addict, always an addict. Well, that's just plumb lie. I'm not an addict. I was for 20 years, but I'm not anymore. I am not an addict. I am not an alcoholic. Whatever labels they placed on me for sickness and disease, no. I exchange those things for what Jesus said. Amen? So we're going to cast out these memory lies. Again, these memory lies are memories that exalt itself above truth. They exalt themselves above truth. It's what God says is truth. Has everybody got it? Man does not speak truth unless it's of God or according to God. Is everybody with me? See, in other words, people go to places, you know how many people are on medication, mental medication? It's incredible. Bipolar. It's just another label because they don't know what to do with the demon. That's all it is. They don't know what to do with it. Fear is a spirit. Remember, fear is Satan, how Satan utilizes control over people by fear. Prevents them from going places, prevents them from doing things. And it started because of a stronghold, because of a memory lie that's either been spoken upon them, either they've inherited it, and they've agreed with it. Is everybody okay? And what happens then? We cast out this memory, casting out the, it's a mental argument that attempts to cause agreement with you. It's a mental argument that's trying to, a mental argument that's trying to get you to convince you to agree with it. If you agree with it, you become it. That is called deception. And that is a weapon. That's why some people just, I'll never believe. I ain't going to follow. I'm going to do my own thing. This is the way I believe in it. Well, your belief system, if it's incorrect, it's called a flawed belief system. And it causes you to perceive things differently also. You will not see according to truth. You'll see according to what you believe. Amen? So, again, this mental argument that attempts to cause agreement with you. Amen? Because what it wants to do, it wants to take position in your memory. It wants to take position in your memory so it can promote rejection of what God says. Again, a stronghold also brings open doors to the enemy. He has access to you. When there's an agreement with the voice of the stranger, he has access to you to torment you. And the reason why he torments you is so he can get fed. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting powers of darkness. So deception is a weapon. That is the major weapon that you and I fight. We fight demons, we fight, but they carry deception. Their voice is deception. Everything in you and I are fighting is a voice. It's all here. The Spirit said, speak the presence of evil. Amen? So what is happening, he's saying, listen, cast out these arguments. Cast out these deceptive spirits, right? Because we can't remove them, but we can replace it. In other words, you cannot remove what's been burned. Memory cannot be removed, but it can be replaced. Is everybody with me? What can it be replaced with? It can be replaced in an area of truth. So you can never remove it out. You can never permanently erase it, but you can cover it. Because once memory is burned, it's burned. Now what we do is we put the truth over the lie. And light exposes darkness. So if the truth is there, the light's always on. That way now the darkness, that stronghold, doesn't have dominion anymore. See, but this takes practice, doesn't it? It takes the area of learning. Because how are you going to fight what is deceptive if you don't know what truth is? If you're going to go by how you feel, you'll always be deceived. Well, this is how I feel, this is how I feel, this is how I feel. Anybody ever know that your feelings can lie to you? Isn't that what medication does? You take a pain pill, it doesn't heal you, it deceives you. It tells you, you don't have any pain because you're stupid. And after a period of time, it doesn't work anymore because you become more sensitive to the pain. Then you take more. Then you become more stupid. Till you eventually become a zombie. Then you're addicted to the prescription. And then you cross-change prescriptions and try and it's all nothing to lie. It brings you into bondage. And now you're trying to manage these demons when they're actually getting fed. Hallelujah. The purpose. Okay, strongholds bring open doors to the enemy and bondage to darkness and cause us to be a slave to deception. And it's always promoting, again, a false belief system and a false belief system or a flawed belief system will produce flawed perception. Is everybody okay? Again, deception is a weapon. It is a strong weapon. In fact, it's probably the strongest weapon there is. It's Satan's greatest weapon for the kingdom of darkness. Their strongest weapon is deception. And if the ruler of this earth is Satan, so he uses this weapon to keep people deceived, doesn't he? Keep them in darkness. Keep them blinded. And always trying to feed them with more and more lies. Go to chapter 11. In verse 1. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, read 3 with me, but I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds, when he speaks of your minds, he's speaking of your thoughts, he's speaking of your imaginations, he's speaking of your memories, that so that your minds may be what? Corrupted by, that word simplicity means purity, by the purity that is in Christ. So the serpent deceived Eve caused her thoughts or imaginations or memories to become corrupt. That word corrupt means rebellious towards God. Is everybody okay? Verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, do not accept it. Reject it. Putting up with certain things is an area where, go for it, not me. Has everybody got this? We are not to receive these things. Does everybody understand that? In other words, somebody may come and try and bring it. Look, if you've come in agreement with the voice of the enemy, get rid of it. when you finally, oh man, that's right, that's not, I got to get rid of that. You know, there are many people who preach the gospel. Unfortunately, multiple people preach a different Jesus. See, my Jesus raises the dead. My Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. My Jesus casts out devils. My Jesus heals the sick. My Jesus manifests his love. My Jesus never turns his back. My Jesus loves me unconditionally, even when I'm a bonehead. His arms are always open to me, no matter what. And my Jesus, as long as I'm in line with him, my mistakes are his problems. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Is everybody okay? Go to verse 10. Let's speak it together. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the region of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are what? False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Is that deception? Yes. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their what? To their works. Very, very powerful. So the serpent deceived Eve, caused the mind. Amen. Attacked her in the mind. The thoughts, imaginations, and memories became corrupt, rebellious, and disobedient, and perverse to the will of God. Like, again, the demonic arena brings demonic beings I want to talk about. These are demonic beings. Demonic beings are demons or disembodied spirits. And these demonic beings that transform themselves into human weapons of deception. I want you to grab hold of that. These demonic beings transform themselves into human weapons of deception. So everybody got it? These are demonic beings that transform themselves into human weapons of deceptions. They do that by taking possession of an individual. So everybody got it? They do that by taking a possession of an individual. Again, if you don't have control over your members, someone does. If you don't have control over your thoughts, someone does. If you don't have control over your emotions, someone does. And if you don't have control over your tongue, someone does. All of these are evidence of the presence of evil. Amen? Satan is the weapon of deception. His followers are carriers of deception and hope to control individuals with fear as power. Go to Revelation 12. Anybody ever deceive you? Did you get frustrated? Did you wonder why that person could do such a thing? It wasn't that person. That person was influenced by deception. So everybody got it? That person is influenced by the presence of evil. The weapon of deception, which is of Satan. In Revelation 12, in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. What happened? But they did not what? They did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So Satan's, who is known as the dragon, and his angels are no longer in heaven in the area of God's throne, the third realm. So everybody got it. They've been removed there, and they've been sentenced to this world and its atmosphere. Amen? Okay. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the what? The devil and Satan, who deceived. Who what? Who does what? Deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. Why? Because deception is his weapon. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, the power of his Christ, that's the anointing, has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So Satan deceives the whole world because the weapon that he has is called deception. If he can keep people deceived, he can get them under control. Amen? We overcome him by the word of truth and by the blood of the Lamb. And in this, we know that this is where the anointing of Christ Jesus. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There was a price that Christ paid for me and you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So who deceives the whole world? Satan. And what's his weapon? Deception. Deception. The weapon of deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. And what does it say? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. Are those deception? Yeah. And with all unrighteous what? Deception among those who what? Perish. In other words, if he can utilize that weapon on us, he can cause us to perish. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? Amen? That's his job. So if he can steal from us, if he can kill, if he can destroy, that's all he's trying to accomplish. It says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? That they might be saved. That they might be what? Saved. Let's go a little further. For this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion that they should believe in the lie or the deception, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, Satan's deception, that weapon, produces unrighteousness. It promotes rebellion. Has everybody got it? Verse 13. But we are what? We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Again, Satan's kingdom, their weapon is deception. And deception is lies. Deception is what? Lies. Did you ever find out something that somebody lied to you and they've been lying to your face the whole time? That's what the devil does. That's what his deception is. They lie. That's all they know. That's all they can do. They can't harm you any other way but by a lie. And so they lie. You accept the lie because as a man thinks he is. The weapon is deception. See, he lies through TV. He lies through music. He lies through many things. Not all doctors, but he'll lie through a doctor. Because the medical field is under the what? Under the world system. Wow, so you think they're going to know all the truth? No way. They may have some facts. There's a good purpose for it, but then there's an area that they deal in that is not a good thing. Psychiatrists, unless that's a spirit-filled psychiatrist that knows Jesus Christ, the only reason why that person's a psychiatrist is God placed them in position. And that person isn't going to talk about the things of the world of psychology. He's going to speak of the things of spirits. He's going to tell that person, look at man, you got to stop coming in agreement with that demon. Amen? Amen. You know, it's Christian counselors. So there's many Christian counselors that they accept Jesus. They tell people about Jesus. That Jesus can heal. Jesus can do this. Jesus can do that. But the counselor isn't willing to expose the demon that person's associating with. That's not Christian counseling. Christian counseling says this: in my name, you will cast out devils. You will expose the powers of darkness because you're the light and he who's in you is greater than he is in the world. So everybody got it. And by the word of your confession, what you confess is what you possess. What you confess, what you speak is what you eat. Oh, hallelujah. Deception. Sometimes I wonder if some of those are nothing but Satan's righteous ministers. Supposedly righteous ministers. Yeah, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And the Lord says, get away from them. Amen. They have a form of godliness. Oh, they seem so spiritual. But when it comes to the demonic arena, they don't know poop. They don't know nothing. So everybody got it. They're dumb. Because the only thing they know is what they've learned through the world system, not through the anointing. Hallelujah. Now listen. Satan's kingdom's weapon is deception. Christ's weapon is truth. And the truth is in the anointing. And the anointing is called the Christ. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. And so many people who are Christians never even been filled with the Spirit, never even been filled in the area where the anointing, because the enemy keeps them away. See, if he can keep you away from the anointing, deceive you to keep you away from the anointing. He knows that it's all the anointing is the only thing that he fears. The kingdom of darkness fears the anointing. Demons acknowledge the anointing. The Father acknowledges the blood when you speak it. Demons acknowledge the anointing. But they also know whether you're in the anointing. Whether you're abiding in the anointing. They know whether... See, they try to deceive you out of that anointing. If they can deceive you out of the anointing, they access you. Then you act like them. John 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Now the word Christ means anointed one and his anointing. Jesus was the Christ. He came into the world. He's the anointed one, and his anointing he came with the eternal presence, power, and truth. Amen? And verse 31. Let's speak it together. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple, right? If you abide in my word. And we talked about three areas you abide. You abide in his presence. You abide in his word and prayer. And you abide in fellowship. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. John 8, 32. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, if you know something, you practice it, don't you? But see, many people may know a truth but not practice it. So you can't get free. But the truth is in the anointing. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Sin is the presence of evil. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father. Why? Because Jesus walked in both realms, and that's where he came from. He is the Father. If you see me, you see the Father, he said. And you do what you have seen with your Father. Now he's expressing two different fathers. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" he says. "Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father the what? The devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it." So again, we see that the devil, Satan and his kingdom, their weapon is deception, and that deception is lies, and he is the father of them. And he was even telling these people who proclaimed to be believers, "You're deceived. You're deceived." I have shared that with many people. You're deceived. You're blinded. Deception is associated with blinded. You're not able to see the truth. You know, you got to ask yourself, why are you not able to praise and worship? Why are you not able to read? Why are you not able to pray? Why are you? Who's hindering you? Who's hindering you? That unseen realm is hindering you. Why? Because you have bitten the bait of deception, that weapon, and it's put you in that place. And until you sever and get rid of that deception and replace it with truth, you will be bound. And you'll be deceived to the day you die. Psalm 37. So we must begin to look at deception as a serious weapon. What do you think brings division? You know, the enemy loves to offend people. He loves to cause bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. Why? Because he gets fed on all of those things. Because they get fed by emotion. In Psalm 37 and verse 12, weapon of deception. Psalm 37 verse 12, would you read it with me? "The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked has drawn the sword and it has bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." Psalm 38 and verse 12. Would you speak it with me? "Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan" what? deception all the day long. They plan deception. Why? Because that is their weapon. And that must be a reality to each and every one of us, that we can be victorious. We are in a war and there are many battles. These battles are associated with the thoughts. That's the only way he can get you, is to deceive you in the thoughts. And as a man thinks, so he is. And as a man speaks, what he eats is what he, and what he speaks is what he eats, and what he eats is what he becomes. Oh, I'll never get healed. Oh, I'm just, oh, well, man, then you stay that way. Oh, nobody loves me. Oh, woe is me. I'm the only one that's ever been. That's not God's words. God's word says he who's in me is greater. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. See, now I'm speaking eternal words now. All glory. Deception all day long. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, all day long, everyone say all day long,
the enemy
is trying to use his weapon of deception to snare me. All day long. Has everybody got that? All day long. If he can't get you while you're awake, he'll try and get you while you sleep. All glory. But again, he fears the anointing. So if he can deceive you to walk out of the anointing, he snags you. He takes possession in certain areas. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You know what? People don't realize that there is forbidding to be married in certain areas. In other words, there's more promotion of ungodly marriage, and people just to shack up. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Why? Because we're in the last days. That's deception, isn't it? That's a weapon. One of the things the enemy tries to do is get children to be birthed without mother and father in marriage, because it can bring a curse on them. It's called a bastard curse. But it can be broken. Has everybody got it? But see, if they don't know it can be broken, that child walks in rejection and fear all their life until it's broke. Deceiving spirits. Acts chapter 10. Again, the word says we don't fight flesh and blood. We're fighting voices, aren't we? And these voices are spirits that carry the weapon of deception. So if that thought comes to you, I don't believe this. If you just heard the word, I don't know if I can believe this stuff. That means that demon is right there. In fact, he's probably got a front row seat in your temple. Hello. You might as well just feed him popcorn. Acts chapter 10. Give him a show. Is everybody there? Acts 10 and verse 38. Verse 37, I'm sorry. That word which you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God what? Anointed. How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the what? By the devil. For God was with him. Why? Oppressed by the devil. What did they do? Satan's weapon is what? Deception. So they were deceived, weren't they? Certain things that people have inherited, they were deceived. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's why he's known as the Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. So one of the things that the devil, you know what? It's amazing. Today I was in the jail and we were ministering, we were talking, and so many of the guys that are in jail have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh man, they can quote scriptures. They even know page numbers. But no power. No power to overcome. No power. When I began to share with them about the anointing and what's going on and about speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, and most of them thought you couldn't have that. It was only for the apostles. Why? Because that deception came down their traditional religious line all the way down. They were always told that was only for them. Well, Jesus didn't change. He still baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Amen? He still fills us. He still refreshes us. He still empowers us. He opens our eyes to see the demonic arena. If Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, don't you think we and you need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit? Empowered and baptized with the Holy Spirit? Amen. And John 16 and verse 12. Weapon of deception. Jesus was speaking to them, and he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, because they couldn't understand it. They couldn't interpret what he was saying, because you can't interpret the things of the Spirit unless you're in the Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come. See, when you're in the anointing, you see, you hear. The Spirit tells you things to come. Does everybody got it? He tells you things to come. If you're in the Spirit, if you're listening, if you're paying attention, if you're sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. You know, how many times have you did something and thought, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that? It's probably because God was trying to tell you, don't do that. But it felt like you should, because you allowed your feelings to have control over what God was saying. See, desires and feelings will speak louder than God's voice sometimes. Verse 14. He said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He is known as the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth. He tells us things to come because the Holy Spirit is a carrier of the anointing. Has everybody got it? The eternal presence, power, and truth. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Man, you want to irritate a demon? Expose them. Ooh, man, they manifest. They start twitching. And then they get angry. They blame everybody else. Yeah, they get all crazy, man. Really, you want to irritate a demon? Expose them. You can't counsel a demon. You can only cast it out. And the demon's not going to leave unless that person wants them to. Because if you cast it out, that demon will come right back and throw a party. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it is the what? The last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Remember, Antichrists are, these are spirits that are against the what? The anointing. Does everybody got it? They'll do everything they can to get you to walk out of the anointing so they can snag you. They entice you. They bribe you. They'll use someone else to bribe you. They'll do everything they can to get you to walk out of the anointing. And of course, if you're not in the anointing, they'll do everything they can to prevent you from getting in the anointing. Because they fear the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, carried by the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? So he said here, look at there are many antichrists now. Look at, there are people who are still carrying the spirit of antichrist in the body of Christ. Where do you think these divisions are? Who do you think started denominations? It sure wasn't God. He wanted us to be in unity. Amen? It's amazing how many people, I'll meet someone, and they'll be talking about something. I'll say, well, what's your faith? I don't know what their faith is. Well, it's Catholic. Well, that ain't a faith. Well, it's Pentecost. That ain't one either. Faith is in Christ Jesus. What's your faith? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that He died for my sins. He rose again. He came in the flesh and left me His spirit to cast it out of you, the devil. Then they start twitching. Hallelujah. In verse 19, it says this. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Why? Because they came in agreement with the Antichrist spirit. And his weapon is what? Deception. Verse 20. He says, but look it, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So you should have seen this. You knew it. Why didn't you do something? You saw it. You know it. Did you pray? Did you intercede? If you knew it, then you saw that deception coming. You sensed that spirit coming. You knew it was coming. Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you expose it? Look, there's times when I can sense the attack of the enemy coming around me. And I can hear his voice. When you sense that, shut up. Don't speak. The only thing that you want to do is command it to leave. Has everybody got it? Your opinion can cause trouble. Well, here's my opinion. Your opinion can open the door to the devil. God's not interested in our opinion. He's interested that we know the truth and speak the truth. Amen? Why? Because we're to expose the weapon of deception by truth. Amen? Is everybody okay? So the anointing is going to tell you all things. It's going to guide you to all truth. He's going to reveal to you. He's going to expose the enemy. But we must be sensitive to see and to hear. Amen? Go to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. Is everybody okay? You know, we have a saint in our ministry who told you that, right? Excellent teaching. Talk about deception. Matthew 12. Verse 43. Matthew 12, verse 43. Is everybody there? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Now listen, he does not have an apartment. Okay? And he's not renting a house or built one. Humans are the house. Has everybody got it? They do not survive. They need a host. They're looking for someone, a place to live. They are disembodied spirits that need a body. Has everybody got it? And they survive on the arena of being fed by emotion. Fear. Anger, hatred. Look at all the hatred in the Middle East. You know that that's not God. Because Satan's deception, that weapon, promotes anger. Those people are angry and don't even know why they're angry and hatred. They're burning American flags thinking that it's America is the problem. When they are demon-possessed. And those demons are getting fed big time over there. Does everybody understand that? Those are demonic forces. They want to kill. They teach their children how to hate. That's all. Hatred is a fruit of a presence of evil. Hatred is a fruit of a presence of evil. Not godly. Not righteous. It's evil. Amen? And here he says, look it, I'm going to go get myself seven more buddies. I'm going to go and return to this place. In verse 45, it says, then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, that they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. So the demon of deception causes a person to reject the anointing. Has everybody got it? Allowing that demon access into that temple. They drew that person away from the anointing. They drew it from away. So the individual now makes the exchange for the presence of God for the presence of evil. And the presence of evil is called sin. So they make the exchange for the presence of God for the presence of evil. That's the deception. That's the weapon of deception, is always keep the presence of evil in your life, or exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil in our lives. That's their purpose. So they can keep us blind and in sin. Blind and in sin. And lie. Lying. Deceiving. Matthew 13 and verse 14. Matthew 13 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Hope so. Speak it with me. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull." In other words, they weren't dull before, but they are now. Why? Because the weapon of deception has deceived them. Their ears are what? Hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should what? Heal them. Why? Because they've accepted the lie of deception. He's saying if they'll just turn from the presence of evil and exchange the presence of evil for my presence and turn to me, I will heal them. I'll heal them. I'll heal them of their wounds, their rejections, their fears, their bitterness. God is asking us to make the exchange. It's our responsibility to speak those things. Let's go to verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." In other words, what you're hearing tonight, when this service is over, the first thing the enemy's going to try to do is take everything. He's going to try and take it. He's going to try to convince you that this doesn't work. He's going to try to convince you that there's another way. He's going to try to convince you not to believe. He's going to try to convince you. Now, everything that this seeds he's talking about is associated with ground, foundational ground. He says, look at this here was, in other words, this one was sown, and this is he who receives seed by the wayside. In other words, seed is planted where? In soil, isn't it? If the soil is contaminated or corrupt, the seed will be destroyed. Amen? It's easily stolen. It can't plant. It can't root. Go a little further. Verse 20. "But he who receives seed on stony places." In other words, he's talking about soils. What types of soils there are. "On stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he what? He stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he receives seed on good ground." Good ground is solid foundation. The good ground is on the anointing. Because see, your foundation, my foundation is built on the anointing. Has everybody got it? The anointing is the foundation. Jesus called the anointing to the foundation. In other words, the foundation is essential. If you're planning to build a three-story house on a single floor foundation, it isn't going to hold. Amen? Your foundation and my foundation is the anointing. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Why? Because if you're not in the Spirit, can you understand it? No. The enemy steals stuff just like that. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold. I mean, a hundredfold, some 60-fold, or some 30-fold. So again, here we see that good ground is the foundation built by the anointing. And the anointing is maintained by eating the word and drinking of the Spirit. In other words, decreeing the word of God and praise and worship. So that you can stay and maintain in the presence of God. Again, the weapon is deception. It is a weapon. And we must constantly be more sensitive in the area of people. So many people are easily deceived and get drawn right out from the anointing. And those spirits come back. And they just gone through deliverance. And now the spirits are back. Because they're not maintaining prayer. They're not abiding in His presence, His word, and fellowship. They're not abiding. One of the things that the enemy loves to do immediately is to get you to compromise your prayer. Well, I'll pray when I get a chance. Well, you've already bitten the bait and have been removed from the presence of the anointing. And it's just a matter of time where the enemy comes in and uses you to spread cancer. Now I want to close in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Weapon of deception. It is a weapon. Amen? It is a weapon. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 19. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, in other words, cleanses himself from the presence of evil, he will be a what? A vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. So you got to be careful who you associate with. Your associations will bring impartations. See, I don't have friends. I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters. Has everybody got it? Brothers and sisters. Jesus said the same thing. My brothers and sisters are those who do the will of God. I don't have friends. We're either brothers or sisters, because your friends are your enemies. They may be a friend in a moment, but they'll turn on you in a second. Amen? Verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses. This is not common sense senses. This is spiritual senses. This is under the anointing where you are sensitive and able to discern what is right and what isn't right, what is clean and unclean, what's holy and unholy. what's pleasing and displeasing, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. How did they do his will? Because of deception. They took the bait, the weapon of deception. They exchanged the presence of God for the presence of evil. And some never having the true presence of God. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the door opens. That's just the beginning, not the end. Your battle's just beginning. But there's so much more. So much more. And we must have the discernment to be able to see and sense the weapon of deception. Because too many people are easily swayed. People backslide because of deception. People justify because of deception. People lie because of deception. We're seeing deception express itself in such a way like it's never expressed itself before. People are deceived. Believers that promote same-sex marriage and abortion, they're deceived. They've that weapon of deception. And if they stay in that state, God will allow them the delusion. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because people are not seeking the truth. They're not getting in God's presence. They're not willing to deny themselves. They're not willing to fellowship. They're not willing to hang with those who have a pure heart. Anyone who makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Amen? That's the word of God. That's truth. That's why he says, come out from among them and be separate. And don't touch what's unclean. And then I'll be a father to you. See, touching what is unclean means you're agreeing with the deception. That unclean thing is a weapon. It's deception. There's weapons of deception all over the earth. All over. There's accursed items. There's all kinds of things that the enemy uses to infiltrate and bring us into bondage. That's all he's trying to do, is keep you from the presence of God or exchange the presence of God for his presence. If he can do that, he can keep you in bondage and in slavery under fear. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to expose that weapon of deception that the enemy uses. And so many of us have been easily snared in it. You said, he who seeks shall find. So, Lord, keep us in the state that we're always seeking truth, being able to discern the enemy's tactics of deception. Not biting the bait of Satan, but exposing it. So, Lord, again, we repent for all areas of agreement with that weapon. Or even if he used us as a weapon, we ask for your forgiveness. Again, restore us to our first love and bring revelation and impartation and purity to your people that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.